Thank you. Had a good day in the Lord's house already. We are thankful that you are here. If you're visiting with us this morning for the first time, thank you so much for visiting with us. We're glad that you are here. We hope you enjoy yourself and look forward to seeing you come back and be a part of our worship times in the future. We are in Isaiah chapter number 9. Isaiah chapter number 9. And verse number 6, we have been there all the month of December, and we've been looking at the different names of Christ as they are mentioned here in Isaiah 9 and 6. If you are going on the winter retreat with the church, please come quickly, right after church, right down here. I have some things I got to go over with, and then I have to get to the nursing home, so don't tarry, come quickly. I won't be at the door this morning shaking hands as you leave out, so forgive me for that, but we got to care for this this business of the trip. Isaiah 9 and verse 6, the Bible says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." We started out this study with the name Wonderful, and then we went to Counselor, and then in the middle we kind of switched over to the Prince of Peace because it tied into our cantata, and now we're backing up, we kind of put it in reverse a little bit, and we are at the Mighty God. Now Isaiah is preparing us for what we call Christmas, which is the birth of Christ and celebration of the birth of Christ. Over in Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14, if you back up a few chapters, Isaiah chapter 7 and verse number 14, the Bible says, "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel." And then in chapter 9 and verse 6, of course, you have the revelation of the different names that would be called. Jesus Christ would be called by, the Messiah would be called by, and a child would be born and a son given, a child who would someday govern the entirety of the world. Now we know that there's come a day and age when Jesus returns to this earth and he sets up his throne and he rules and reigns literally here upon the earth for a 1,000 years. And as he rules and reigns, that is going to be a marvelous time during the history as we know it. But these are the names that he has been given and will be given. If you would, look over in Luke chapter number 1 and compare Isaiah 9:6 a little bit. We've read it several times throughout the month, and so you probably got a good portion of it memorized. But look in Luke chapter number 1, And you'll notice as Gabriel begins to make his announcement to Mary, and compare how they look here, the words of Gabriel to Mary. Luke chapter number 1 and verse number 30. Luke chapter number 1 and verse number 30. The Bible says, Luke chapter 1 verse 30, "And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. And he shall be great, and he shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." So as you compare those two, the prophecy there of Isaiah many years prior to the time of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, and then here the prophecy of Gabriel just a few short hours before the actual birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Probably a couple of days up to this point. They have not yet started on their journey as they've traveled there. But why this coming son was to be called the Mighty God. Now you see there in Luke chapter 1, who we're talking about in Isaiah chapter number 9 verse 6 is made clear in Luke chapter 1 verse 31. "And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus." So in Isaiah 9:6, this is a prophecy of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's about to be fulfilled upon God's timetable here in Luke chapter number 1 as they journey and travel, as they get to the city of Bethlehem, because that was the place that God had made prophecy of in Micah, that the child will be born in Bethlehem. And of course, the miraculous decree of Caesar, as he said, we need to have a census and a taxing, so everybody has to go back to their hometown and home place. And it's not by chance, not by happenstance, not by just, oh well, this took place. This was the hand and move of God, as he brought things into play that would get Joseph and Mary to the place of Bethlehem, where they were from, and allow Jesus to fulfill the prophecy in Matthew chapter 5, I believe it is, of being born in Bethlehem. And of course, his name shall be called Jesus. Well, over here, his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God. And so that's where we're at today, the Mighty God. But there's another miraculous birth that would take place as well. Somebody that would prepare the way for the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you'd flip back to Isaiah chapter number 40, you'll find another prophecy of someone else that would be born during this time. Isaiah chapter number 40, if you would, look at verse number 3. Hold yourself in Luke if you have not already lost it, because we're going to come right back to Luke again. But if you've lost it, we'll give you time to get back. Look over in Isaiah chapter 40 in verse number 3. Isaiah 43, "The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God." His name shall be called the Mighty God. So this prophecy that's going to take place here is one that was going to make way, the highway for God. Look at verse 4. "Every valley shall be exalted, every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. The glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it." Now flip back over into Luke chapter number 1 again, and verse number 5. You see the renewal of this prophecy in Isaiah chapter 40, in Luke chapter number 1, verse number 5. You have the parents, you have what we're talking about is John the Baptist here, but maybe some of your kids that are maybe 16 or 18 years or younger. Who was the parents of John the Baptist? Anybody know? Anybody? I know, Brother Bill, you want to be 18 years old, but
amen.
You're fast. Somebody help me. Start with a Z and it starts with an E. Yeah, Zacharias and Elizabeth. So here, and they were well beyond the age of 18, were they not?
Amen.
Yes, they were. So that's kind of another miraculous birth here, Luke chapter 1 and verse number 5. You notice there were in the days of Herod, the king of Judah, a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abiah, and his wife was the daughter of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinance of the Lord blameless, and they had no child because that Elizabeth was barren, and they both were now well stricken in years. And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord, and the whole multitude of the people were without, were praying without in the time of the incense. Now look at verse 7, of course, it tells us that they were childless there. They were well stricken in age. But look in verse number 13, and the angel said unto him, talking to Zacharias, said, and the angel said unto him, fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. So John was born in a miraculous sense of the way, kind of like Abraham, whenever he and his wife brought forth the child, Sarah, they brought forth the child. They were well stricken in age, and you know, that doesn't just happen by chance, but this child, John, was sent for a purpose, and he was to make the way straight of the highway for God, the pathway of the Lord Jesus Christ. And unto you a son is given, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God. And so John, there, as he's brought forth and he's born into this world, he had a purpose, and that purpose was make way the straight of the Heavenly Father, the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, wait, Pastor, how can I be Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus Christ? Well, go to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 3. A lot of people do not understand this. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was 100% man, 100% God. In 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 16. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. So John's job was to make way straight the highway of God for God. Look what it says here in 1 Timothy 3, 16. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. And listen to what it says. God was manifest in the flesh, justified of the Spirit, seen of the angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up in glory. So God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, these three are one. And they bear their own record. They have their own personalities. But these three are one. And so you have God manifest in the flesh. Who is that? Emmanuel. And what does it say about the prophecy of Emmanuel? God with us. Look with me over in Matthew chapter number 1. Matthew chapter number 1. Matthew chapter 1, verse 23. Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth the son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. So that there's no mistaking, so that there's no misunderstanding. God wanted us to understand when he said in Isaiah, chapter 9, verse 6, and his name shall be called the Mighty God. He wanted us to understand. He was talking about God himself would be born in a manger, live in a body of flesh, and he'd rise, be risen up as a child, grow into a man, and wax great in spirit, and as Jesus Christ, the Son of God, God himself would pay the sin debt of the world for you and I, and this is why he is the mighty God. Look with me over in Colossians chapter number 1. Colossians chapter number 1. And verse number 17. I know I'm laying a lot of groundwork here, dear friend, but I want you to understand something. When Isaiah 9:6 says, a child shall be born, and a son given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. And it's easy sometimes to accept he shall be called wonderful. And there was wonderful, a wonderfulness about the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he shall be called counselor. He said, come and let's reason together. Let's take my yoke upon me, upon you. Learn of me. So being a counselor, that's great. But dear friend, when we say Jesus Christ was God, that's saying a lot. And the Bible wants us covered. You know, Jesus himself wanted the disciples to know. He said to his disciples, who do the people say that I am? And some said, well, you're Isaiah. Some say you're Elijah. Some say you're this one. Jesus turned back and said to you, said to them, and said, who do you say that I am? And he said, thou art the Christ, the Son of God. And not only the Christ, the Son of God, thou art God himself manifest in the flesh. And so this is a mouthful that we have to take by faith. But let me tell you something, friend. There is wonderful peace when we walk by faith and the faith of God. So look there in Colossians chapter number 1 and verse number 17. Of course, this is talking about Jesus Christ in context here as we go there. But listen what it says in verse 17. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. So when you understand that Jesus Christ is God manifest in flesh, now you can be able to reconcile why the characteristic of God was labeled there as a name given to him, Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God. And so you can now see, well, if Jesus Christ was God manifest in flesh, by him all things consist. He was before all things, so the name is rightly fitting. But if you don't have understanding of Scripture, you don't have a good flow of Bible doctrine and teaching, then you say, well, that just really doesn't make sense to me why it would be like that. Why is it said like that? So God wanted us to know, dear friend, when we're looking at the Lord Jesus Christ, we're looking at God manifest in flesh. Matter of fact, Jesus said in his earthly ministry, he said to the Pharisees, the scribes, and those people gathered around, he said to them, if you've seen me, you have seen who? The Father. So the mighty God, all things, and he's before all things. That means he's before your problems. I mean, I don't know about you, dear friend, but we're at the end of 2018. We're fixing to move into the year 2019. You know, many years prior, Jesus Christ died upon the cross of Calvary. He was buried. He rose again. Now he seats forevermore at the right hand of the Father, and he's making intercession for you and I. He's there as our advocate. He's there on our behalf, and he's pleading our case before God as we go day by day. He's not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance and be saved and born again by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. But what I'm talking about, dear friend, is that your problems, which exist today, are real, but he was before your problems. The mighty God. When you put it in context, all things consist by him. In other words, you know, they've been trying to launch this here thing over there for the last, what, 5 days? About 5, 6 days, if it kept getting canceled, this spaceship thing over there at SpaceX. They've been trying. The wind down low is too strong. The wind in the middle is too strong. The wind up top is too strong. And they're trying to get this here space thing out there into space. And all of this, the winds that have hindered them, consist by the mighty God. NASA couldn't change it. With all their technology and with all their the funds that are poured into there and all the the intelligence that's over there. I tell you, there's some smart people over there, in those buildings, and scientists and engineers and things like that. All of their combined intelligence could not alter the wind. All things consist by the mighty God. So all your troubles and all your trials and your difficulties, dear friend, whenever you can't seem to hold back the tears because of heartache and troubles that happen in your life, I'm going to tell you something, dear friend. The mighty God, Jesus Christ Himself, existed before all of that ever took place. And so that's why God wants us to understand the name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, because our God can handle every problem that arises into our life. Now, I'm not telling you, dear friend, that He's going to just take your problems away and remove this problem. Well, you're a child of God, so I'm going to remove this problem because you're a child of God. Oh, dear friend, it rains on the just and the unjust. Saved and unsaved go through heart attacks, and people that know Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, and those that have rejected and blasphemed the name of Christ end up with cancer, dear friend. Those that know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, and those that don't, have divorce. It happens. It just takes place. And so I want you to understand something, dear friend. Your status in life, whether saved or unsaved, does not, dear friend, we got to get out of our mind that because I'm a child of God, I'm going to have a bed of roses. And things are going to be hunky-dory. And everything's going to be beautiful and wonderful, dear friend. Oh, no, dear friend. We, as God's people, go through trials and tribulations. We go through depression. We go through discouragement. We go through loneliness. Even Jesus Himself went through loneliness. You remember before He went to the cross of Calvary, He called out three of His best. He thought of the top notch of His disciples, those that He felt were pillars and grounds of truth and faith in His little circle of 12. He called them out and said, listen, guys, let's go over here a little ways away, and let's get over here, and I'm going to go pray, and will y'all pray for me? And He went on a little bit, and He came back, and guess what? Those three, the best of the three, those that had He had put much faith in and put to the forefront of the whole thing, He could have chose Bartholomew, He could have chose Judas, He could have chose any of the other nine, but He chose those three. He brought them there, and those three, guess what they did? Went to sleep on the Lord and left Him lonely. Left Him alone in probably the most difficult hour of His human time on this earth. Matter of fact, it was such a difficult time. The Bible says that as He prayed, it was as great drops of blood had blood vessels had busted in His body, His forehead, as He prayed, as He went there in such time of loneliness. His three closest, the ones that He took up on the mount and had showed them, what we call the Mount Transfiguration, as He brought Him up there. Those same three left Him alone. Left Him all by Himself. In His heartache. In His tears. I'm going to tell you, dear friend, when it seems as though you can't control even the tears of a broken heart, and you cannot allow yourself even the strength to hold back and to contain yourself and the heartache and the misery, the pain, the loneliness, the discouragement, and all that, the mighty God went through that. So we could know when He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you, He meant exactly what He said. And so you had the birth of John the Baptist that paved the way. You had the birth of Christ that took place. And what was the whole reason of this? Look over in Luke chapter number 1 again. And look what the mighty God does for mankind. Luke chapter number 1 and verse number 76. Matthew, Mark, Luke 1 And verse number 76. And thou, child, shalt be called the prophet of the highest. For thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways. Talking about, John the Baptist. As he does, he's going to prepare those ways. Verse 77. To give knowledge and salvation unto his people by the remission of sins. Verse 78. Through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us. Verse 79. Why did he visit? To give light to them that sit in the darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet unto the way of peace. This is why the mighty God came, and this is why the mighty God walked upon this earth. This is why he's there, that he might give light to them that sit in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet to the way of peace. Dear friend, I say unto you, if you're a child of God and you're a part of God's family and Jesus Christ is your Savior and the Holy Spirit of God lives within you, God will bring peace that passeth all understanding in the difficult times of life, in the darkness, though you walk by the shadow of, by the valley of the shadow of death, though there seems to be humanly possible no peace. When he said peace on earth and goodwill to all men, the mighty God can bring peace in your situation, or he will bring a calmness of peace in your life that you will be able to walk through this chaotic time that you're living in. That's the mighty God. The wonderful, the counselor, the mighty God. And John the Baptist paved that way and made it straight and without any... when John didn't pick no bones and Jesus didn't either. Except you repent, you shall likewise perish. That was the message. You know what our problem is, dear friend? We're trying every way in the world to get to heaven. We're almost back in Genesis building a tower so we can get on up to heaven. But Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and life. No man comes to the Father but by me. And we're going each and every way trying to get things settled in our life, get things fixed, instead of going to the mighty God, the God that put the, where they're trying to get, where they cheered and had a good time over there in NASA area, in SpaceX, when they put that thing upon Mars. Man's trying to get where God's already been. Listen, I don't know what's out there on Mars. I don't care if they get all the way out to Jupiter. I don't care if they knock another one off and tell me Pluto, and then what's the next one in, guys? Help me. Saturn? Venus? Pluto? Neptune?
Jupiter, Neptune.
From out back. Not out back, that's a steakhouse. Yep. Slow down, Brother John. I'm simple. So, when I was in school, Pluto was a planet. What's the next one nearest to me? Not nearest to me, next nearest to Pluto.
Neptune or Uranus?
Neptune, one of the two. I don't care if you go to Neptune and Uranus and check it off the block and say, it's no Pluto, it's no planet anymore. God's already been there. I don't have to worry about what goes on out there. Listen, you go to the depths of the sea till your submarine explodes. God's already been to the depths of the sea. I'm talking about the mighty God. I'm talking about the God of heaven. And when God said, when he prophesied here, he wanted us to understand something. He is well able. There was no other that could forgive sins or bring redemption for sins but God himself. The mighty God. I don't know about you, dear friend, but we've got to be careful, because all human solutions that I come up with and find, they seem to fail. These human solutions that I come up with, but we need the wisdom of who? The mighty God. When James says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask God. Who's he talking about? The mighty God. This is we've got to get away from just trying to fix things ourselves. Different. He would give light and shadow death. He would give guidance to those in trouble. I don't know about you, but I've been in plenty of trouble in my life. And I need some guidance. Whenever he says here in verse 79 that to guide our feet into the way of peace, oh Lord, dear friend, I need the guidance of God. Well, how did it happen? The same God. Listen, the same God that I'm talking about, the mighty God, when the shepherds was out there in the field, when they were out there, taking care of their animals. Flip over to Luke chapter number 2. And verse 10, they were cared for the animals. Listen what it says in Luke chapter number 2, verse number 10. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Praise God, it's for all people. I mean, the good tidings, what's the good tidings? That Jesus Christ was born. That he was going to go to the cross of Calvary. And he was the Lamb of God. And he was going to be buried and raised again by the power of God on the third day. And anybody who puts faith and trust in him should have eternal life. Verse 11. For unto you is born this day in the city of David, which is Christ the Lord. And there shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in the manger. The mighty God, where the Bible says this in the Old Testament, that no man has seen him and lived. No man. He told Moses, hide over here in the rocks. I'll cover you up and I'll pass by. I'll let you see the hinder part a little bit. Maybe you can handle that. But no man has seen God. The shepherds on that night, dear friend, when they entered into that manger, and there was the goat, and there was the donkey, and there was Joseph, there was Mary, there was some little chickens and roosters sitting around over there, some ducks maybe quacking around over there. They didn't see just a babe, dear friend. They saw the mighty God in that manger. That's who they want to see. The accessibility to the mighty God. It wasn't, listen, it wasn't like at the nursery in the at RMC or Weenie Palmer or any of them other, we had to look through a window. They got to go and approach the mighty God. This is amazing stuff, dear friend, that we get access to the mighty God. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 4, if you want to, and you're a child of God, you can approach the throne room of God in time of need because we have access that has been made away because of the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, God manifests the flesh. We have access. You remember on the cross. I know this isn't Easter time, but dear friend, the manger scene is only the beginning of the picture of salvation. That's only the start, dear friend. But you remember on the cross of Calvary, as he hung there between heaven and earth, whenever he gave up the ghost, the Bible says from the veil was rent in the holies of holies, and it gave access. Why? Because he's the mighty God that gave access. And that same access we have today. We have today. Just like the shepherds, when they entered into that little manger and that little shelter there that housed them that night they gave birth, we, dear friend, can enter in to the throne room of God. Why? Because the mighty God, the Savior, is Christ the Lord, as the shepherds went and found the Lord as direct. Listen, I'm going to ask you this, dear friend. Have you found the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? Have you realized that I'm a sinner before a holy and righteous God, before the mighty God? I'm a sinner before Him, and I need salvation through His plan, which is Jesus Christ and Him alone. I am the way, the truth, and life. No man comes to the Father. Have you found that salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ that the mighty God offers to us? Here's three things, and we'll close right now. Come with all your sins to the one who is mighty to save. Come. Come. He said, come, reason with me. I don't know what's holding you back. There is no salvation. There's no salvation outside of God's plan, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. And by no other name shall man be saved. No other. Come with all your sins. Don't let somebody trick you and think you got to, they teach you that you got to clean up and get all right. When I was yet a sinner, Christ died for me. I didn't have to get religion. I didn't have to get all fixed up and get all dooted up, get all dressed up and approach Him. Dear friend, whenever I came to Him, I came as a lowly sinner who needed Jesus, my personal Lord and Savior. And I came with all my sin. Why did I come with all my sins, Sister Barbara? Because He wants to forgive all my sins. You can't come to the Lord God with six, seven sins in your pocket. Say, Lord, You take these and I'll keep these. And listen, dear friend, He came to save us from our sins. So come with all your sins to the mighty God. Don't let somebody tell you that you've done did things so bad and so wrong and you're so low that that's why He says the mighty God. He wants you to know. Bring all your sins. Secondly, come with all your problems to the One who is mighty to solve. Why is it, dear friend, that we show up to God with just some of our problems? Come with all your problems. You know what He says? In the New Testament, says this: cast all your cares upon Him, for He careth for you. Quit holding on to your problems, dear friend. They'll wear you down. I think it kind of goes along with Hebrews where it says, lay aside the sins and weights that does so easily beset us. All those sins, let Him have them. All the weights, let Him have them. Third thing, the mighty God awaits your call. Trust Him with your life and your all. I don't know how many Christians hold on to a portion of this or that or another and do not enjoy abundant life. I'm not saying you're saved, but Jesus came more than just save us. He said, I come that you might have life. Thank God if you're born again, you're saved, that's life. But He wants you to have abundant life. You don't have to get saved. Give it all to Him. I mean, let Him have every ounce of your life. Why? Because He is the mighty God. The mighty God. Let's stand to our feet. Dear friend, if you're lost this morning, Jesus came. Praise God. Merry Christmas Eve. Thank the Lord for your tree and the gifts and the caroling and all that. But He didn't come to stay in a manger. He came for a purpose, and that was to save men and women, boys and girls, that put faith and trust in Him. Come to Him today if you're lost. You don't know. Not come religiously. Don't come with your theology. Don't come with deals. It ain't no deal or no deal with God. It's Jesus or no deal. It's Him and Him alone. Come this morning. Praise God. We're glad that you're here. We're so thankful that you've had the opportunity to be here with us. And we're glad that I got to know you. Don't make yourself a stranger. Come back and be with us and enjoy yourself here at Lock Haven Baptist Church. We have Brother Biz and Sister Kumi here that are coming to present themselves for membership. We've gone over the state of faith bylaws with them, and they would like to come and transfer from Cary Baptist Church. And we're so thankful that they have presented themselves, and we're glad to welcome them into our family. Do I have a motion to accept them? Brother Daniel, Brother Burgos, all in favor? Any opposed? All right, y'all come and give them a right hand of fellowship. Welcome them into our family, and we're glad that they're here.